Welcome to Grounded Wellness, your go-to podcast for simplified and trusted information on how to live a more non-toxic and holistic life. We're your hosts. I'm Bethany McDaniel, founder of Primally Pure, biohacking enthusiast and mom of three.
And I'm Courtney O'Connor, a holistic esthetician with over 15 years experience in the healing power of touch and holistic skincare rituals.
I am so excited to welcome Katrina Fay, craniofacial health coach and author of the revolutionary book, Beauty is Bone Deep. Katrina brings a unique approach to health and wellness by highlighting the shocking fact that our jaws are shrinking. This is a fascinating conversation on why traditional orthodontic care may be doing more harm than good, how modern foods are stunting jaw development, and the surprising link between jaw health and issues like inflammation, premature aging, and even anxiety. Let's dig in. Katrina, thank you so much for being here. I think that you are now our furthest guest that we've had on to Grounded Wellness. You came here all the way from Australia, and I am so excited to dig into this conversation.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to be on the Grounded Wellness podcast. Thank you so much for having me, Bethany.
I want to start a bit with your story. Tell us what happened to your face all of those years ago and what you did to fix it and how it led you into the world of facial bone structure and airway optimization.
So my journey learning all about facial orthodontics began by accident about 10 years ago after I had traditional orthodontics. Not because my teeth were very crooked, but because I wasn't that happy with my smile and wanted to get veneers put on. And the orthodontist said, why don't we just create a little bit more space and put some braces on for 6 months first? So we did that. And my husband, well, we weren't married then, but me and my now husband had to move interstate and I actually took them off early, the braces. And by the time we relocated, I thought, oh, my teeth are straight enough. I want to get veneers put on. So a new orthodontist took the braces off and gave me a retainer. Me being who I am, damaged the retainer straight away and needed to order a new one. And unfortunately that didn't happen. They botched the order. And if you don't wear a retainer on the teeth, they start to move out of position. So because that didn't happen, because they didn't replace it soon enough, my teeth started to move. I didn't quite understand actually what was happening because our traditional orthodontic system has always taught us that faces are 100% governed by genetics. So when I started to see my face changing slowly over 12 months, I assumed I was just aging poorly and rapidly and wasn't sure what had happened. And the orthodontist who hadn't replaced the retainer didn't take any responsibility. So I was left to my own devices and I actually wasn't sure how to fix what was complete asymmetry in my jaws, which was making one eye look large and one eye sinking in and putting my jaw in on this slant. I uploaded photos to, I think it was Quora or one of these sites, Real Self or something, asking people, does anyone know how to fix this? And a kind stranger said palate expansion, which I didn't know was even a treatment. So I got researching about it and in an effort to heal my face, which essentially had collapsed inward.
Wow.
It had lost structure, it had lost occlusion through those teeth moving. That's what was causing my cheeks to sink in and the eye to sink. So I had to learn a lot about facial mechanics and how our faces grow and what creates the structure. And I, through my research, could see that in the US, palate expansion was happening with adults and it started to develop the center of the skull by targeting the mouth roof and developing the palatine bones gradually by using an appliance that was removable. And by turning the key, it was gradually applying pressure and remodeling bone in the center of the face. This was initially hard to find someone who would treat me in Australia because it was still a new treatment and there was this misconception that you can't remodel an adult's face because we're skeletally mature. That's what they're taught in orthodontic school, that once we reach a certain height, we can't change our bones, but this is not the case because bones always undergo remodeling all throughout our lifespan. So when they encounter pressure, muscles encounter pressure, the bone beneath remodels its structural integrity to accommodate those new pressures. So that's what the mouth roof was doing for me by using this appliance. And people are amazed when they see my before and after photo that my midface became wider. And when we grow the midface, which is actually called the maxilla bone, all of the facial features begin to enhance. It's known as the beauty bone because it has the eye sockets, the base of the sockets, the nasal bridge, cheekbones, the mouth roof, the top dentition. So it determines how wide the smile is, how high the cheekbones are. But equally, it could be called the health bone because this is exactly where our airway is. So what isn't understood, unfortunately, in traditional orthodontics and dentistry, but is now emerging and becoming its own space of facial orthodontics, is that when we develop the mouth roof, which is the structure which makes up the floor of the nasal cavity, when we develop it, the face grows to its full size and our airway volume increases. And unfortunately, the statistic today is 50% of adult Americans are mouth breathing, which is crazy. Wow. That half of the population are not breathing correctly. And the cases of obstructive sleep apnea are just climbing and through the roof. And it comes down to the nasal cavity being encroached upon by the mouth roof. So if our jaws don't grow properly, which is a huge problem in modern society for lots of reasons I'm sure we're about to delve into, the mouth roof is high and vaulted, and the face is narrow and pinched in, and people can't breathe properly. And then they look at their face, they sense they don't like the symptoms they're seeing, and they go to a plastic surgeon and they start playing around with their skin or having a nose job or doing lots of things, but it's actually masking what is an airway issue.
You mentioned your before and after photos, which if anyone is listening and not watching, if you're watching, I'm sure we'll put these up on the video, but go to Katrina's Instagram page and look at her before and after photos. It is remarkable how your facial structure has changed just from this device. And I've even seen people speculate and ask you, like, have you gotten lip filler? Because your lips too are so much more full and plump than they were before because everything has just expanded. And I was even Googling, preparing for this interview, before and after pictures with palate expansion. It is wild. Like, yeah. It makes me think, like, people, there are no ugly people. There are just underdeveloped people. And that's probably a lot of us. But it's just, it's pretty remarkable.
I love that message that you're saying. There's not unattractive, ugly people. It's people who have an undeveloped jaw. The airway is too tight, and unfortunately, it's very common.
Yeah.
And as you say, you can see in the before and after photos that I was able to achieve quite significant facial development without surgery, which is great. No going under the knife, no general anesthesia, no downtime. It's just using a device that's applying pressure that hasn't been there early in life, which should actually come from the pressure of the tongue muscle, which people wouldn't understand how crucial their tongue is in facial development. And one of the factors that probably contributes to this is that we raise our babies with pacifiers in their mouth, which actually trains the tongue to be low in the jaw. The tongue should be suctioned high in the jaw. And when we placate infants with pacifiers to keep them silent so they'll happily play, that's actually time they should be babbling and they should be using their tongue and making sounds and teething on things and using their jaws. They're always putting their fist in their mouth.
Did your kids use pacifiers at all?
I did when I was traveling with my babies. My first two babies didn't want pacifiers because they were breastfed for so long. And so I didn't even think about pacifiers being a big problem back those many years ago, but they thankfully didn't want them. And my third born, her breastfeeding was interrupted because she had a surgery when she was quite young. Hmm. And anyway, so we bottle fed her and she did pacify when we went traveling with a pacifier. But I was like, it's only for a week. That's okay. And then we'll take it out. And she never got attached to it.
I have used pacifiers with my kids. And now I'm taking a step back from a lot of my work responsibilities, and my big thing right now is, like, I'm diving into this for all of my kids and, like, fixing anything that any damage that has been done. What are some other factors that contribute to poor jaw development in our current society. I know tongue ties is another one at a young age if they're not fixed, right? Can you speak to that one a little bit?
I certainly can, because all three of my children were born with a restrictive tongue tie, which means the skin beneath the tongue is too tight or too short. And it's always been believed that this is an inherited quality that affects about 5 to 10% of the population. But the more I kept hearing from parents saying, oh, my children had a tongue tie and we had a phrenectomy, or maybe they didn't have a phrenectomy and it's caused huge issues for their malocclusion now, it made me look into the issue further. And there is some data suggesting that folic acid supplementation, which is aimed for pregnant mothers, they put it into pregnancy tablets to protect against neural tube defects so that it seals the spine and prevents spina bifida. The conclusion seems to be that maybe it's over-sealing the midline. Mm. So the tissues underneath the tongue and the lip ties are becoming too tight.
Would folate have the same effect? Because I knew folic acid was not the way to go, but I did take folate, multivitamins that had folate in it.
Interesting, yeah. So folate's the natural version that we should be, our mother should have lots of folate in her diet to protect against neural tube defects and eating all the right foods. But the advice is to take these pregnancy supplements. And I think the folic acid in them is more of an issue because it's double the potency.
Mm.
So you might be doing all the right things and having a healthy diet as a pregnant mum and then supplementing with something that's now overcorrecting the problem.
Okay.
And we're seeing infants coming out with these tongue tie restrictions. And my son, we noticed it straight away, but 7.5 years ago, I didn't even realize what a tongue tie was. And no one really mentioned that it would become a big problem. It did become a big problem. And the internet was only saying, oh, tongue tie restrictions, you know, it might impact breastfeeding and speech development. And at the time, I'd adapted to breastfeeding. I thought, okay, so that's all right. Speech development, that seems like, you know, a short-term hurdle if it happens, and didn't think much into it. And it's really bad. It does affect their speech. It affects the amount that the top jaw can grow and come forward because the tongue's low in the jaw. And that's the architect of the mouth.
It kind of shapes everything, right?
Yeah, and develops the airway. And if they have a small airway, they start to mouth breathe. They don't hold the tongue in the right position. They tongue thrust. They become messy eaters because they're trying to mouth breathe and eat food.
Yeah.
And
they're like rushing. Compensating in all of these ways.
Yes. And then their whole alignment is thrown out with their spinal alignment, their hips, even their knees. I noticed that my son was pigeon-toed. So once our tongue is low and not suctioned high, the fact that they're not breathing nasally and are breathing orally, they compensate by doing this.
Hmm.
They open the throat and drop the tongue. And so when you do that, your shoulders come forward to compensate. And then you get this S shape to the spine, and then your knees go in.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's quite a few flow-on effects that need to be reversed. And mothers especially, parents, but particularly mothers, notice these things in their children from age 18 months or 2 and 3, and they think, okay, how do I fix this? And it's really hard to have a child that cognitively immature to understand what maladaptive patterns they have and to undo them and replace them. So until that child is, you know, maybe late 4, early 5, they could perhaps see a myofunctional therapist and understand and follow instructions on how to correct that problem. But it's a long waiting game. And I've been through it with my kids and it really sucks.
Yeah. And the best case scenario is to address it right away. Like with my younger two, we had the laser that nipped that when they were just a couple days old. But with my oldest, I didn't know about that yet. And so that's one of the things now I want to dive into with her to hopefully fix. So when they are older, then what's the game plan with that?
In the US, I've seen orthodontists who will treat with airway orthodontics. For children, they say on the website as early as 3, if the child will tolerate having the appliance in the mouth. And I think that's just absolutely amazing because so many orthodontists say, oh, we'll wait until they're 6 or 7 and they've got new molars and there's something to attach it to. But they're able to do this with a 4-year-old easily. And my son did it when he was 5. And that was with a removable appliance, but we actually had one glued in because we found that was more effective. And they just move beautifully at that age. Their sutures aren't fused yet. And this is why, given just a little bit of pressure, the mouth roof just remodels and opens up. Whereas we can still do this at any age, and with adults, it's just you'll need to apply a little bit more pressure for longer to release the suture and allow that remodeling process to start.
Yeah. Okay, another contributing factor I know is soft foods.
Mm.
Why should parents not be feeding their kids a bunch of soft foods?
Yeah. I remember when my firstborn was young, loving those pouchy vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking, oh, great. You know, they're in the car or the pram.
So
no mess.
So yep.
Convenient. And it's really not the way to go about it because they're not using their muscles in the right coordination. They should be chewing on things that are quite fibrous, or even dehydrated biltong is actually a natural way that children would start to explore with harder natural foods. And teeth on them, even if they don't have enough teeth to actually grind it down to a pulp and eat it, they should be teething on foods.
Just the motion.
The motion, because whenever there's a bolus of food that needs to be maneuvered around their mouth, their tongue engages to keep guiding food back onto the dental arch and the jaws. And getting them to lift the tongue is molding from the inside the mouth roof. When they just have a little spout in the mouth, they can tongue thrust beneath the spout. They're not really using any muscles, and it can set them up for the wrong swallow habit, which is that tongue thrust where it's not pumping up onto the palate. It's beneath a straw or a spout all the time. Even these sippy cups, it's a slightly different swallow pattern than to just drinking from a cup. The tongue is held low by the spout. So I know it's really hard for parents to navigate all of these things, but we do need to go to the effort to most of the time make sure they're given the opportunity to chew things that are fibrous and crunchy and engage their tongue to do natural functions and guide the jaws.
Yeah, it's like the opposite of everything we are like marketed to be doing as young moms. So we're the folic acid is contributing to the tongue ties, and then the soft foods, and then also, what was the other one?
The pacifier.
And then the pacifiers. And then these kids have underdeveloped jaws, and then there's not enough room for their teeth to come in. Mm-hmm. And then when they're 10, 11, 12, their teeth are crooked and we give them braces. Mm-hmm. So talk to us about braces and the problem there.
Yeah. So I have braces on right now. Braces can be the enemy if we don't expand the jaw first. So it can be quite confusing because I've shared lots of stories online about don't put your children straight into braces. And that is correct. That's not the first thing that we want to do. Because the underlying cause of the malocclusion is the fact the child has the high vaulted palate to the high mouth roof, mm-hmm. and the tongue's not connecting with it and molding it. And so the jaws they're narrow because the mouth roof is like a high V shape.
Yeah.
So if you just try to move teeth in a tight jaw, once those braces come off, there has to be a permanent retainer to hold them in that straight position. Otherwise, they just go crooked again. And that's because the tongue's not there, the breathing isn't nasal yet. So what we must do is target the mouth roof first, get that child's jaw to its correct size for their age. When we develop the mouth roof, it actually comes forward and low. And as it moves down, that allows the tongue muscle to gain contact and suction to it. So many children may not be able to do myofunctional therapy to train their tongue to suction correctly because their mouth roof is like this and it should be a big broad rainbow.
Mm.
So once we expand the jaw, we lower the mouth roof, we can look to then straighten the teeth because you want that bottom dentition to also move to match up with the wider top dentition after expansion. So you may do that. If you're like me who has a big gap in their teeth because I've just done a maxillary expansion, you may even want to close a gap at the front. But we never want to extract teeth. We never, if we're an adult, close in gaps and make our mouth smaller if we've never expanded, because those crooked teeth or those gaps can be the symptom of just a small jaw.
Yeah. And if you widen the jaw, then oftentimes are braces even necessary? Do the teeth have enough space and then they kind of like fix
They can
themselves?
Move into a great position. So, you know, in theory for a child, they may avoid braces altogether. But if if it's a complex case and you want to get the maximum expansion of the top jaw, you'll probably want to move those bottom teeth a little bit. My son was told he doesn't need to do the braces because there's just a little bit of development here and his teeth are matching up. But if your child does need to do braces after expansion, the key ingredient is do not glue on the retainer to the teeth. Because the biggest problem is once you have retainers on the jaws of, say, a 10-year-old, who's maybe they have expanded, maybe they haven't, that retainer prevents any future growth because the bite is now locked. The dental arch of that 12-year-old is locked in place, so their face can't continue to grow. So as they get older, you'll notice for people who've had braces really early and worn retainers their whole life, the cranium seems to be the right size for an adult, but the face is actually pinched in and small. And it impacts their ability to breathe properly.
Yeah. So now there's this whole epidemic of adults that have jaws the size of a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
It's so wild.
You see it a lot. And you can tell people have had braces, their teeth are straight, but their dental arch is small like a child's.
So it's interesting because I've started seeing an airway-focused dentist. And when I first went in, he was like, oh, you had braces. And I didn't. Mm. But he said that my teeth are like, They're straight enough, but they're like flared out as if I'd had braces.
Okay.
Which is so interesting because I haven't. And I don't know. Do you have any like thoughts on why that might be?
I actually don't.
I had my wisdom teeth pulled, which I know is another thing we don't want to do.
Yeah, I had my wisdom teeth pulled as well. And yeah. I regret that.
Another thing that it just doesn't allow the jaw to, like, they're there to continue to expand the jaw, right? And when we remove them, the jaw isn't able to like continue to grow to its full potential?
Well, without them, our face is flattened by a tooth width.
Okay. Like
my jaws would be a tooth width further forward had I had those wisdom teeth. But it's been normalized that, oh, they're a little bit sore. Let's pull them out.
Yeah.
So suddenly, let's
just
pull
them out. It was just like, oh, they're starting to come in, pull them out. Like, even though there weren't any issues.
Really?
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah. It's like everything that we're being treated for the worst case scenario. We're not even like allowed to, there's no like seeing how it plays out or anything. It's just kind of like same protocol for everyone with traditional orthodontry. Is that the word?
Orthodontics.
Yeah. With traditional orthodontics.
Yeah.
You mentioned also like the airway not developing properly. What are the implications of not having a fully developed airway?
Oh my goodness. People wouldn't realize how much this affects their whole life. So when the airway, the nasal cavity is tight, people will keep their lips open to orally breathe. But this route of respiration does not saturate the blood properly with
oxygen.
And that's
purely just because there's not enough space for the oxygen to get into the body?
Well, people who have a degree of air hunger through the nose start to compensate by breathing orally because it feels like a faster way to get the air in. But it's only drawing air to the top of the chest. Whereas nasal breathing, when we have plenty of ease to do so, is slow. It draws the air all the way deep into the diaphragm, which is now saturating the depth of the lungs with oxygen and giving the body more time to absorb it. When we only breathe to the top of the chest, it's an anxious style of breathing that's more rapid. And the heart, because it's sensing, there's not enough time to take the oxygen coming in before there's a breath out and taking another gasp. So the body's compensation to not enough oxygen is to speed up the heart rate. And people don't know, they don't realize this just becomes a normal way of being to them, but their respiration is high, the heart rate is high, so they're in a sympathetic state of being. So the nervous system state of being fight and flight.
Yeah.
Whereas most of the time we need to be parasympathetic dominant, which is the state of our system, which is rest and digest. And so we can absorb nutrients and do repair and detox. But if that's not happening for you, you're in this state of acidosis, rapid breathing. There's this imbalance between the level of oxygen to carbon dioxide. And so there's more carbon dioxide than there should be. And you're not saturating all of the cells with oxygen like they're expecting. The brain, you can see in mapping with MRI scans, they've even tested people. They took a big group of people who were all normally nasal breathers, and they had two groups, controlled trial. You're going to mouth tape and only breathe through the nose while doing a cognitive task for 1 hour. The other group are going to peg their nose and only breathe through the mouth. And instantaneously, they saw the effect of breathing through the mouth to do the cognitive tasks. The MRI scan showed that the mouth breathers were only lighting up 10 of 15 brain regions, whereas those who were nasal breathing, blood flow and oxygen to all 15 brain regions.
Wow.
That's how significant and immediate the effect is to your whole physiology.
And 50% of people are doing this all day, every day.
Yeah, and it's the body releases free radicals, it's in oxidative stress.
And then during sleep, they're not able to get the proper oxygenation to detox and repair like they should.
Yeah, so unfortunately, I don't want to scare people, but it does speed up the aging process. Having oxidative stress, release of free radicals, not adequate sleep, and not adequate detox because you're having fragmented sleep. So many people who have a sleep-disordered breathing style or obstructive sleep apnea need to come out of deep REM sleep to reposition their body when the body senses it doesn't get a lot of air. They're deep snorers, or perhaps not deep snoring, but they're gasping or pausing in their breath during sleep. This brings the body out of deep REM, and it leaves them fatigued, A, because they didn't have the oxygen saturation, but because their sleep quality is fragmenting. And if you don't stay in deep REM for a long amount of time, you're not doing that wash away of toxins and detox through the brain at nighttime.
Yeah.
And the repairs system's not working properly.
So I would imagine this has an impact on so many things. I've heard you touch on how this can also contribute to behavioral disorders and like ADHD in children. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah. It's really sad to see what's happening to our children, because we can all think about that child or many children who you may not even notice their mouth breathing, but now when I point out the details, you'll know who I'm talking about. They have a bit of a sunken face, they have venous pooling under the eyes because they're not well rested, they don't have a lot of oxygen coming in, their mouth breathing.
And the bone structure probably doesn't allow for that to be in its proper position too, right?
Yeah, there's a facial type for this. So if it's a small midface, which may make the forehead look more bulbous or the lower jaw look more prominent, or perhaps it looks weakened because it needs to tuck in behind a recessed midface. These children are then prone to malocclusion because the jaw is small. And then, as we said, their whole alignment is thrown off. And so their coordination, their ability to keep up with their peers in physical sports is not quite there. They have attentional issues because they're not oxygenating the brain properly. And children are not like adults. Adults slow down and get fatigued when they're not sleeping properly. Children get really overstimulated and rev up when they're sleep deprived. And so it looks like symptoms of attentional deficit and hyperactivity. And that's a child who just can't regulate their nervous system because they're in this fight and flight, and their whole system is thrown out of whack.
Oh, that makes so much sense. And such an important thing to invest in for your children. I've heard you say, like, invest in this before a college education,
which what difference?
I completely like agree with, because it impacts everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not saying don't get an education. Education is important, but I am saying put your money into this early if you can. And some of these options are fairly affordable for parents. They're not attached to the teeth, or they're not a palate expander. They're actually helping a child guide their muscles. So I think there's a MyoBrace, and Vivos have a system like this, and there's a tooth pillow that's guiding a child who doesn't have severe problems to put that tongue high and maybe correct their tongue position. And the effects are slower. Mm-hmm. It's a gradual process, but they do then start to open the face up a little bit and get the jaws a bit wider. But the best solution for a child is a glued in palate expander, which works in about 6 months, and you turn a key at home.
It's quick.
There's less visits than probably going to get braces, because you're not going in to get them tightened. The parent will just use a little key and just twist it, you know, one tiny turn every day. And it starts to develop the jaw and the airway, and that child's body just comes into alignment. It's really beautiful to watch, and it doesn't take as much time as braces.
Yeah. I remember as a kid, so I always wanted braces as a kid, and my parents were like, no, it's too expensive, and then they said you didn't need them, so you're not getting them.
That was fortunate,
actually. I know, now I'm happy. So I'm like not super familiar with the world of like braces and retainers, but I remember some kids getting like expanders.
Yeah.
Like, so... And is that the same thing that you're talking about now, or was that different back then? I remember like having friends that had expanders, and they had like maybe rubber bands in their mouth or something.
Yep.
Is that the same thing?
That's why it shocks me that traditional orthodontists who just do braces try to discredit this method. It's been around for 40 years with children. It's now only just becoming more popular with adults because they've realized, oh, our bones keep remodeling forever, so there's no barrier to doing this.
Yeah.
But yeah, children have been having expanders for decades now. And I say to people, my husband's friend, he goes, oh yeah, I had one of those expanders as a kid. And I just think, you don't know how lucky you were that you happened to step into that orthodontic right. clinic who looked at your teeth and thought, we're going to create space in the jaw. And he has a great facial structure. And that's because of the expander. But he probably wouldn't realize how much that changed his trajectory. Because mm-hmm. had he walked into the other clinic who mm-hmm. said, okay, crooked teeth, we'll take out 4 premolars and then we'll close the gaps with braces and give you a lifelong retainer, he'd look completely different. He'd probably have health issues. He would not be the same person.
Yeah. Mm. Where can people go to learn more about this? Is there a database of the right type of orthodontist to see? Or like, how can someone take, how would someone know where to go for this type of thing?
It falls under so many different labels that it's actually quite convoluted for parents to understand. Some dentists go by airway dentistry. Some orthodontists are calling it myofunctional orthodontics, functional orthodontics, face orthodontics. There's so many different terms for this. And to help parents navigate it, I wrote a book and I gave a list which helps them with the search terminology on how to locate someone who's going to approach orthodontics the right way. And also a list of ones who are known to be helping adults with this very problem, because it's unfortunately a tough system to navigate. And parents and individuals really should be equipped with a little bit of knowledge about this before they speak to their orthodontist they consult with. So the orthodontist realizes, okay, I can't just push this person into wisdom teeth extractions or braces.
Yeah.
The person needs to know what their options are.
Yeah. I love how you say that beauty is health and health is beauty. Talk to us about supermodels and why we find them to be so universally attractive.
Mm. My background is psychology, so I always love how the mind works and what we're innately wired to appreciate and then what part of us is shaped by culture and environment. And the studies on facial beauty have always shown that people like structural qualities about faces, big eyes, prominent lips, a healthy sized midface, and symmetry. And those things come about by having jaws that are full size that allow the teeth to come in straight. And when the teeth come in straight and you're able to keep them all because no one extracted them because the dental arch was small, then there's equal loading on the jaws. And the mouth roof is wide and the cheekbones become prominent and therefore the eye sockets sit prominently on the face and are not sunken and tired looking. You have a wide smile, the teeth aren't crooked, and that person has vitality actually. We're almost picking up on subtle cues about their health because their spine will be in alignment, their breathing is better, they'll have more energy, and that may show up even in their skin tone, because they're getting more oxygen right. to every part of the body. And so people that look at them, gut health as well, yeah. because their digestion is allowed to be running for most of the day. They're not in a stress response. So mm-hmm. they're actually absorbing nutrients better.
Yeah.
And this is why we innately like beauty and particular traits. It's because that's how our body, when everything works optimally, our body should have these traits. And
it's like we're attracted to healthy traits
yeah.
in others.
And sometimes surgeries or other cosmetic things can sort of mask it and they can improve someone's confidence, but done too many times, people are not attracted to that because it's a false cue of health. It's signaling to a person that something's actually awry and we want to fix the root cause and bring the whole face into harmony, not just try to like fill some areas while other areas look sunken and like something's a little bit out of alignment.
Yeah. What plastic surgeries do you think can be avoided if the jaw is grown to its full potential?
That's a really good question, because many people will unknowingly have an airway problem and not like the outward appearance of their nose. And they go, oh, I don't breathe that well through my nose and I have a bit of a hump here and I don't like the size of my nose. And they'll go and seek out a septoplasty.
Like a nose job?
A nose job. And they often find that coming out, the nose may be straightened, but they do not breathe any better. And I want to say to those people is that the reason the hump will start to form is that the nasal bridge is supported by the maxilla bone. And if that's retracted, we have bone here and then cartilage. So if this is not supported, it pulls down.
The tip of the nose. If the tip of the nose is not supported. Okay.
Because this is back and not forward. And because the mouth...
That's why we don't see that in kids. It's like something that develops over time, right? I mean, that ridge on the nose.
Sometimes around puberty, this is when we start to realize the symptoms, like the growth hasn't quite occurred and there's symptoms popping up. But the bent septum that they're talking about and the inability to breathe is because of that high vaulted mouth roof that is so common.
Yeah.
And the reason people are mouth breathing is that the mouth roof isn't... So that's the nasal cavity. The mouth roof should be flat and wide, but instead it's like this and the face is narrow. So the mouth roof has encroached on the nasal cavity. And because there's a septum in between, the plastic surgeon saying, oh, I'll just straighten the septum. That's not increasing any volume for airflow. What straightens the septum is actually developing the mouth roof low and wide. It's then able to straighten and you've increased the volume of air coming in. And when you've done this, you've widened their dental arch and you've actually pushed the cheekbones out. So there's many of their traits that are coming into harmony and they're able to breathe better. And if you're able to get this slightly forward, you may even get a straightening along the bridge.
Yeah, that makes sense. And when you were dealing with the whole thing that was happening with your face, I know you were told like, oh, we can put like an implant on one side and like shave off bone on the other side.
It's crazy what kind of masking techniques, because this was an orthodontist telling me that, and they didn't even understand facial mechanics and they didn't understand that faces can grow or not grow. And so they're thinking, okay, we'll do the teeth and maybe I'll just have to refer you to a doctor who's going to take the weak side of your face and put in a cheek implant of silicone. And then that side that's hanging down low, we'll just shave the bone down. And I'm just thinking, I can't do this. A, it's probably not going to look great. And B, I'll never have any hope of actually correcting this problem and correcting my face. When I saw it, its demise come on gradually. So my intuition was just thinking there's got to be a way I can gradually bring it back and actually enhance it further than it was before. And thank God I had followed my gut and went down this rabbit hole of facial mechanics and facial orthodontics, because what initially was led by a desire to aesthetically correct what had been damaged to my face, the damage that had been done, opened up this whole world of facial beauty and what is actually health and what is airway and sleep medicine and dysregulated nervous systems that need to be brought back into harmony.
Yeah, it's all connected.
Yeah.
And I bet you're so glad that you did this instead of that, because if you had done all of that and then fixed the airway, like you would have been lopsided.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I bet with facelifts too, like a lot of that isn't necessary when the volume has been restored through the bone growth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when we can grow the bones, the nasolabial folds start to diminish. I had deeper creases here prior to developing the maxillary bone. Once the cheeks are a bit higher, we can start to, these fade, the crow's feet.
Crow's feet, yeah.
I mean, people can get a facelift if it's minimal, but for someone who's really later in life and has had a lot of bone resorption, and a characteristic trait of getting into later stage life is that this sinks.
Mm-hmm.
People start to lose bone density and even muscle strength, and the tongue becomes weaker. And this is why older people aspirate when they're eating. Their tongue's weak. So they're starting to sink here. There's less muscular support. If you are sunken here, the eye sockets will start to sink in, creating more eye bags.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to get a facelift, but your eyes are narrowing and your teeth are starting to... A lot of people say my teeth are straight, but now they're crooked in later life because their dental arch is sinking. When you have those traits but tight skin from a facelift, it just doesn't have a natural looking result. And so I say this is why we need to always remodel bone, to structurally scaffold the fat pads and the skin better and put them in the right position.
What can people do to minimize that from even happening as they age? I mean, yes, we can wear the devices to regrow the bone and the facial structure, but like what role do like nutrients, facial exercise, like things like that.
Yeah.
What role does that play?
There's so many ways to come at this, because bone health is really cellular health. Our bones are made from cells, which are called osteoblasts, and they're constantly in this state of this osteoclast that are bone resorption, and then there's osteoblasts where we're building bone. And wherever we put pressure on bone, it will remodel and create osteoblasts. So we want to keep using our jaws and chewing harder foods for the whole extent of our life so they stay strong. We want to keep our tongue actually strong. So doing facial exercises, like however people want to do it, using their tongue, keeping it toned is going to help. But when we look at diet, there's so much we can actually do to make sure that we're bringing in lots of minerals and antioxidants. So I'm about to release another book, which is looking more at bones at a cellular level. And most people think tap water's fine. You know, I drink tap water, but the fact that it has fluoride added to it, our overexposure to fluoride actually leads to skeletal fluorosis. And people can look at the studies on this. We're not controlling how much fluoride we're actually absorbing when it's coming in through the tap water. And this,
what is skeletal fluorosis?
It's the bones actually weakening and the enamel on the teeth weakening. So fluoride is helpful within this really small window where it's safe and apparently effective for your teeth. But adding it to our water source and not controlling how many glasses of water everyone is drinking is not an effective way to be exposed to fluoride. And it's even in our food system now. So people are having too much fluoride coming into their body, which weakens bone remodeling, along with our bodies tend to be in a more acidic state than they ought to be. This comes down to our ultra-processed foods. People are probably eating too much meat. I think people should eat protein from animal foods, but we're eating a lot of it. And dairy foods, way too much dairy.
Do you think that the pasteurization plays a role in the absorption and like the body's ability to properly assimilate the nutrients from dairy?
I actually had never thought about that, Bethany, but I haven't got down the raw milk rabbit hole as much.
Lots to talk about raw
milk.
Yeah,
you'll be able to fill me in probably more on that topic, but I'm just looking at when we get our water remineralized. So a lot of people will filter their water because they don't want the heavy metals, pharmaceuticals, chlorine, fluoride coming in.
Yeah.
But that can also strip it of mineral quality. And actually, a lot of our calcium is meant to be coming through our water.
I never knew that. You told me that before we started recording.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So before water was contaminated and people were drinking from springs, that water was running off waterfalls and off rocks and through soils. By the time it got to a human, it might have been groundwater from a well. And it's filtered through all the soil, collecting these minerals, and that comes into our water source. And that's one of the primary ways that we remineralize, along with having antioxidants. So what people wouldn't realize is that when we're in an acidic state, because we're not eating all these foods we should be, like the green leafy vegetables and antioxidant-rich fruits and veggies, is that our body compensates for this over-acidity. The food's being acidic, tap water is more acidic than a natural mineralized water. The buffering system to handle that acidity coming in is that the blood needs to stay at this particular pH. To maintain that, when there's so much acidity coming in, minerals are taken out of our bones. So our bones store minerals. This is bone mineralization. Those come out to neutralize the acidity that's being introduced to the body. And so over time, we weaken our skeletal structure. So my hunch is that all of these rates of osteoporosis, this is not just natural aging and decline. It's the fact that people live in a state of mild acidosis and they're exposed to heavy metals through drinking water and food that do also interfere with the bone remodeling process.
Yeah, because heavy metals inhibit you from absorbing minerals properly, right?
Yeah, they're actually binding to the cell site where the minerals should be getting to. Some of these different heavy metals, whether it's arsenic or lead or cadmium, aluminum, will bind where minerals need to bind. And they just interfere with this balance of osteoclast, osteoblast. So that's a big problem, along with the fluoride, too much fluoride in people's water.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of taking a teaspoon of baking soda in mixing with water for alkalinity?
That's meant to handle the acidity as well. Why did we not know about this earlier?
Yeah.
It sounds ingenious, just adding a little bit of bicarb soda.
Yeah, it's so
but
simple.
Not becoming too reliant on it, because apparently we become too alkaline can be an issue.
Yeah.
But I don't think many people are running the risk of being too alkaline these days, given our dietary choices and what we're exposed to.
While we're on the topic of nutrients, I thought it'd be a good time for us to try the liver smoothie sitting in front of us. Have you had organ meats before?
I've had them in capsule form.
Okay.
And I've actually sprinkled them in food and I love them.
Okay, really?
Yeah, so I'm excited to try the smoothie.
I feel like that's rare. Like, I don't actually like them, but like I have to like put them in a smoothie to cover up the taste.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let's try it.
See what you think. This is chicken liver, but it's with berries, raw milk, honey, mint leaves.
I cannot taste any chicken liver.
Yeah.
That's great. Are these local chickens?
Where are they what?
Yeah. Whose chickens are
they? Yeah. Primal Pastures chickens. Chicken is more mild than beef. The beef is like intolerable, I think, if you just eat it plain.
Yeah.
But yeah, the chicken's more mild.
This, I love the ingredients you've matched together. It tastes delicious.
Good. I'm glad you like it. Yeah, I just love, I love the nutrient profile of liver, and that's why I consume it.
Yeah.
But I don't love the taste. You have posted about Lindsay Lohan's transformation, and the internet is speculating, has been speculating for a long time, I feel like, over what plastic surgeries she's done to get the transformation that she's achieved. What's your take? I'd love to know.
When I look at her face, how much it changed and how naturally beautiful it looks now, it looks like to me how her face should have grown in the first place. Everything is in harmony, as I'm saying. The cheekbones look a little bit more defined. Her lips look a little bit more supportive. The eyes noticeably, to me, look larger and healthier. And there's no treatment on the market aside from developing the mouth roof that I know of that can deliver the results that she's showcasing. The way her skin looks healthier, everything's well supported. So I was saying, I believe this is facial orthodontics at work. And I remember someone messaging me and saying, but she doesn't have the gap in the teeth. And that's true. When you do a maxillary expansion like what I'm doing, where it hooks into the mouth roof, you get a gap. But when I did the removable expander 8 years ago, I didn't experience a gap. And as you've witnessed, there was a lot of change I achieved by using just a removable expanding device. So she may have used one of those. When I even went back through her profile and I looked over the months, and I thought these changes are actually gradual over about 6 months. Whereas if you go in for a surgery, it's instantaneous.
Yeah.
If you have a jaw surgery, you're going to look one way, have a surgery with downtime, and then have to heal from that and look different. And she seemed to gradually improve. So I think it's facial orthodontics.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Mm.
What is your take on Botox and fillers?
I have tried them. The last time I did them was about 3.5 years ago. And I'm not against people using them, but you're just getting in this loop of having to rely on them when I know that deep down bones can do a better job. And I don't hate the look of fine lines to a degree. I feel like attractiveness comes down more to a healthy structure than it does about whether or not you have lines on your face. I think you can have lines on your face and look good for your age. So I choose not to do Botox. I don't really like the feeling it leaves. That heavy feeling in the face.
Do you think like the muscle paralysis can have a weakening effect on the bones? I'm just thinking like for the body, we're told to move the body and exercise, and for, you know, strength training, the important role that that plays in like bone density and bone health as we age. Do you think the same could be true for the face? And if we like paralyze the muscles, do you think that could have a negative effect on the bone growth and bone structure?
That's true. We want to be engaging muscles, not paralyzing them. Because when muscles are used, that's when we see the structure beneath stay strong. So depending on where you're putting the Botox and how much paralysis, I guess in theory, it could weaken bones. I don't choose to use filler at the moment because personally, I've been watching my face changing and I'm trying to get it more symmetrical. So if I went to get fillers, I'd be saying, okay, now plump it here and get this matching the other side, which would be pointless to me because then I can't see what changes are happening beneath by doing expansions.
So, it's like masking rather than treating the root cause.
Yeah, it's a masking. And a lot of the symptoms we're trying to combat with filler is a symptom of a maxillary deficiency, which my whole advocacy is around airway health and maxillary growth. So to me, just go to the root cause and don't fiddle around with fillers endlessly.
Yeah. And I know you've been talking about how this is possible for adults. Is there ever an age where it's too late to work on this?
No. Unless you find an orthodontist who says they won't. Some of them are cagey about doing this, but I know orthodontists who are doing it to people with people who are in their late 50s. So there's no barrier. There's no reason why they can't do this later. The FDA have just approved the Vivos DNA appliance for use on adults as a a prevention or turn reversal of obstructive sleep apnea. So it's designed for adults in later life who are not breathing well.
Yeah.
So they don't put a cap on this age-wise, no.
What I love about your message, too, is that there's still hope. Like, there's always something you can do. What would you say to maybe a mom who's listening, whose child has braces now, maybe they've already had some teeth pulled? Like, what is the best next step forward?
If they've just started braces, I would say don't freak out. Once those braces come out, your child has straighter teeth. But that's the time, don't rely on that retainer. I know that they're given a retainer so the teeth don't go crumpled up again, but the retainer is going to lock the bite and prevent that jaw and mouth roof from growing. So if your child's in braces, you can either take them out of braces now or wait till the teeth are a bit straighter and do it then. And then say to the orthodontist, don't glue any retainers on the teeth. Give me a nighttime retainer, that plastic Invisalign looking one. And then your child can wear that for a few months while they complete myofunctional therapy with a trained professional. So the professional who does orofacial myology is teaching your child how to put their tongue in the right position, how to swallow properly, and maybe undo some poor habits around breathing. Hopefully your child has the ability to nasal breathe and the mouth roof that's not so high and deep that they can put the tongue there and retain their new straight occlusion. But what they may actually need to do is take the braces off and then go to the orthodontist who does palate expansion and say, look, the teeth are fairly straight, but the mouth roof is high and narrow, leading to a narrow face, leading to a small concave airway that's creating all these other issues that I can't really address with myofunctional therapy because the mouth roof is too high. So it's this seeing where the child's at, trying to get the myofunctional therapy, that could even do quite a lot of change, just fixing the muscles. But unfortunately, if your child's face is quite narrow and they are struggling to breathe nasally, go and get the palate expander. And you can expand with braces on. So I don't know how that would happen with two different orthodontists. That's probably too complicated. But when you go to the right orthodontist, they sometimes put the expander in and they've got their braces guiding the teeth at the same time. And that's an optimal situation. So for the parent who just had their child's teeth extracted prior to braces, I really feel for them because they've just been given some really bad advice. This can be corrected down the track by doing the palate expansion. As I say, take the braces off, expand the mouth roof. If you have a skilled orthodontist, they can guide the teeth to reopen those extraction sites. So normally premolars, they tend to take those out and then close gaps. Open those extraction sites and put ceramic teeth implants. That's at least going to hold the mouth roof at its full size that it should be. And then the face will be structurally the right size and the airway is the right size. So you do want to undo the damage of tooth extractions, particularly if they're premolars.
What about teenagers and young adults who are being told that they need to have their wisdom teeth taken out?
Wisdom teeth should be kept. We want to keep our teeth. We don't want to have them extracted. I know sometimes people say they're impacted, they're painful. Go to the face orthodontist who's doing palate expansion and ask them, can you guide my jaw to come forward and slightly widen my dental arch with palate expansion to just get the teeth enough room so that those impacted teeth straighten out and you can keep them? Because that's going to keep the structure stronger. You don't want to lose teeth. They can cause infections and it's a whole other issue you don't want to worry about. The solution is creating room and keeping all adult teeth.
Mouth taping is all the rage right now to help facilitate nasal breathing at night. I know I've experienced benefits with mouth taping. I'm curious what your thoughts are.
Yeah, so mouth taping is a tool to support the right myofunctional habits, I guess. It's encouraging the lip seal and keeping the teeth in occlusion and touching, because when our mouth is open, our teeth hang open. Mm-hmm. We want to have the teeth touching, which gives a better availability for the tongue to touch and suction onto the mouth roof. So if you need that as a signal to remind you while you're sleeping to have those in place, then that can be really beneficial. However, word of caution is that if you already do not have a lot of airflow through the nose, especially if you're trying to encourage a child who's not breathing well through the nose to mouth tape, I'd say let them breathe through the mouth if they need to and go and get the expander. It really depends on their degree of severity as to whether or not that's right for them.
Yeah. You have a book called Beauty is Bone Deep, which I have on order and I'm so excited to dig into. What can people expect with your book? What can they expect to learn?
So in my first book, Beauty is Bone Deep, it's titled Learn How We Grow a Beautiful Face Plus Why Doing So Sustains Health of the Body and Mind. It talks you through really how we get this right from the get-go and how our society got it wrong. The food system, our traditional orthodontic system, just doing everything backwards. And then guiding them through the evidence and the data on adult palate expansion and how the face actually changes and delivers us these characteristics of natural beauty that we're all looking for and all genetically should be representative of. From there, it then delves into full health. The last half of the book is all on the health of the body, the nervous system, brain oxygenation, cell oxygenation, all the diseases that now stem from oxidative stress. Essentially, all disease has a foundation in oxidative stress, the balance of oxygen and carbon dioxide being off, and this speeds up aging. So we're looking at sleep disorders, sleep-disordered breathing, heart disease, which is our number one means of mortality now. The heart gets dysregulated. Our circulation is poor when we're a mouth breather and have sleep apnea. And that's because we only release nitric oxide through the nose when we nasal breathe. And that's our vasodilator. So when we breathe through the nose, the nitric oxide opens up the circulatory veins and capillaries and allows blood flow to pass really easily, which takes pressure off our heart. But if we're breathing through the mouth and we're bypassing the nitric oxide, not only are we taking those shallow breaths that don't inhale oxygen, speeding up the heart, we've got these tight veins. So the heart's pumping really fast, and this is really putting people out of alignment, giving them the physical symptoms and interfering with detox pathways, but also mental health issues, poor sleep, anxiety, depression from fatigue. It's this whole spectrum, this whole holistic look at health. And the best part is that when we correct this, we look better and we feel better.
Yeah. Are you familiar with hyperbaric oxygen therapy?
Yeah, they use that now for cancer treatment.
Yeah. A lot of different things. I mean, I kind of did a deep dive on that a while ago because my husband and I bought one for our own home. And in my research, I was just learning like how crucial oxygen is for every function within the body. And just there's so much powerful research on how having the proper oxygenation can prevent and reverse so many diseases and disorders. And so this all just makes so much more sense to me that optimizing that intuitively to like what our body, you know, what our body was like made to and meant to do would just optimize everything, like how the body functions, the features, like it all kind of harmonizes, like you mentioned earlier.
We're born to be beautiful. That's what I say in the book.
And
you were bringing that up earlier. We're born to look good and feel good. And unfortunately, it's been labeled as some people are born beautiful and others aren't. And it's just, there's so much lifestyle in the way of us realizing our potential.
I was literally thinking that, like, as I was looking at these before and afters online, I'm like, everyone like should look great and can look great if this is kind of like optimized.
Even their struggle with their weight and keeping their weight right, even that becomes easier when they're getting oxygen in. So when we have plenty of oxygen coming into our cells and we've got rest and digest working well, because we're not sympathetic overdrive, we're rest and digest dominant, then we actually, because to process glucose, we need oxygen. And then it turns into ATP, that energy supply. But if there's not a lot of oxygen and we've just got enough to kind of keep us alive, then that conversion of glucose and absorption nutrients doesn't happen, and we just store food, or we're dehydrated and we're blocked up, and everything just gets put out of whack and people start to put weight on. And when you're really fatigued and not sleeping well, it's super hard to stick to those healthy lifestyle choices because you're just struggling to get through the day.
Right.
Yeah.
I think this is really going to be a topic that is going to be more widely discussed in the coming years. And I love that you are paving the way for that and just putting so much good information out there for people to learn. Where can people follow you and continue to learn from you?
Yeah, so I mainly showcase myself at healthyface.com and Instagram at Nurturing Healthy Faces. I'm always putting up new content to Nurturing Healthy Faces on Instagram.
Yeah, Katrina is a great follow. Your reels get so much engagement, and sometimes I just like to look through the comments and just always like so many good discussions on those.
Thanks, Bethany. I know. I love the community that's there because people, they've just really resonated with it, and it's explaining to people why they're having all of these seemingly unrelated symptoms. And
it just makes so much sense. Like once you hear it, it's like, oh, it's just like Western medicine. We've been masking these things instead of getting to the root cause.
Yeah.
So I think it really resonates.
Yeah.
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 Well, thanks so much for being here. This was such a treat talking to you. And I just thank you again for coming all the way from Australia to be on the farm with us today.
My pleasure. I'm so grateful that you invited me on the show, Bethany, because this is such an important topic. And hats off to you to giving it another platform to showcase what's possible for people and help them actually heal their health and set them on the right path. It's so important. So I applaud you for jumping on this topic and letting more people know about it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bethany.